Our Bible reading this morning is from Exodus 12, 1 to 16. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his house, for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males, without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put on the sides and tops of the door frames of their houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your house. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat."
A lecturer in Bible college left me with some really good advice. He probably tried to leave me with lots of bits of good advice, but I didn't listen to too much of it. But there is one bit that I remember him saying, and he said it very clearly. And basically what he said was this: it doesn't matter where you start in the Bible. Whenever you're preaching, whenever you're talking, no matter where you start, you always end with Jesus. You always end with Jesus, because that's what it's all about. And so I remember hearing that and remembering that anything in the Old Testament kind of is an arrow, a pointer towards who Jesus would be and what Jesus would bring as the Messiah. And at the same time, then, as you look through the Gospels and you look at the life of Jesus, we get an opportunity to see a little bit about the way in which we should live. And then, of course, as you then go after Jesus went back into heaven and then look towards Revelation, there's a sense in which we grab hold of the fact of what Christ has done, the transformation he's made in our life, and what the future holds, not just on this earth, but for all eternity. No matter where you start, you always finish with Jesus. And I think that's what we want to do today. And because you can't help but do something as you look at today's passage in Exodus 12. You can't help but look at it and have your attention drawn to Jesus and how he became the sacrificial lamb who took the sins of the world on the cross. He bore our sin, our cross, our shame, and provided a way for us to spend eternity in his presence. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is his name. And yes, today we will be drawn towards Jesus. It would be wrong for us not to be. But there is also something else that we need to realise in the events of Exodus chapter 12. The other thing we need to realise is it can also stand by itself. Yes, we know God instituted the Passover in Exodus 12, and it was a foretaste of what God was going to do in giving of his Son, our Lord Jesus, on the cross at Calvary. It was by his shed blood the spiritual death has passed over us. God placed upon Jesus, the Lamb of God, all of our sins. And as we know in John 1:29, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We can't lose sight of that. But the event itself, what we read in Exodus 12, also stands by itself. Because as we look at Exodus 12, there is a sense in which we get a glimpse of the wonder of who God is and what God can do and his power and his authority. And we should never lose sight of that either. So today, we'll do a little bit of both, but I trust that through it all, we will see who God is and we will stand in awe of who our God is. As I say, it stands significantly in its own right. As we head into Exodus chapter 12, we will see there's a lot of information given about the Passover lamb. And ironically, we're not actually told why it had to be a lamb of all creatures and not some other livestock like a calf or a foal. Maybe it's because they're all cute and innocent. But before we go too far down that path, we need to understand it wasn't just the lamb. It was also goats as well. But I don't think, you know, for Jesus to have been referred to as the goat of God doesn't sort of have the same ring about it, does it? So, sorry? Greatest of all time. Yeah, that's right, greatest of all time. There you go. Maybe we shouldn't refer to him as that. The greatest of all time, the goat. But there's a sense in which the story is about these sacrifices that are happening. Verse 5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. The reference, as I say there, as to why they're lambs or goats, really I don't know exactly, except that there's a practicality probably to it more than anything else. I think one of the things that we need to understand is that for every family to be able to make a sacrifice, there needed to be an awful lot of whatever it was that was going to be sacrificed. There needed to be a lot of lambs. There needed to be a lot of goats. But before we get into that, and we'll get into that soon, before we get to that, let's start the verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. And really what's being said there is that you're going to get a fresh start. This is going to be a new beginning, and you can mark it on your calendar as point zero, where it all starts. From this moment, everything will start again, a new beginning. And it's interesting that I think it took place in September or October, around about that time frame. And it's interesting that this year, the Jewish New Year will be celebrated on sundown on Wednesday, the 2nd of October, and finish at nightfall on Friday, the 4th of October. And as you might imagine, the year that they're celebrating isn't 2024. The year that they're celebrating is 5785. 5785. I bet you didn't know it was 5785. I didn't know that as I was going through that. But 2024, of course, is a reference to another new beginning, wasn't it? Our idea of 2024 is technically, I know it's not quite right, somebody's messed it up over the years, but 2024, point zero, the point of zero for us was the birth of Jesus Christ, a new beginning, a new moment in history. And so once again, we acknowledge that that's what's taking place. Both events obviously mark new beginnings brought about by God's deliverance. So once the foundation of the date is set, Exodus 12 then starts communicating the story of the lamb. Verse 3, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb to his family, one for each household. That's right, what we're reading is one for each household, which probably translates it's hard to know for sure, but something like 75 to 100,000 lambs. And I think sometimes we kind of get a picture of, you know, it's a little hamlet and there might have been five or six lambs that lost their life on that night, but we're talking an enormous number of lambs that would be sacrificed. A reliable butcher I once knew told me that a lamb could feed 25 to 30 people. So if that's the case, then it's something like 75 to 100,000 lambs that needed to be the sacrifice. You understand right from the word go? It needed to be God's provision. It needed to be a miracle, even for this part of the story to come to pass. And more so considering that the plagues had impacted a lot of the livestock of the region. And so the fact that there is the volume of lambs needed is God's provision. Each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbour, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. There's going to be enough for everyone, and everyone will be taken care of. In this story, in this moment, there's no sense of the haves and the have-nots. There's no sense of the rich and the poor, the well-educated and those that aren't the cleverest. There is no differentiation. Everyone will be provided for. Everyone will have enough. And I know that as you hear that, we naturally go to the fact that that's the reality of our salvation as well, isn't it? That as we consider what Christ has done for us, it doesn't matter our background, it doesn't matter what we've achieved or haven't achieved, it doesn't matter how good we think we've been or how sinful we believe we have been. The gift of salvation through Christ is available for everyone. We simply need to accept the free gift that is on offer. Everyone comes the same. Everyone comes equal, and there is enough for everyone. Verse 5, the animal you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them till the 14th day of the month. Now, we're not actually told how the Israelites are viewing this event, but I have to say, to this point, it's not feeling too much like a sacrifice. In some ways, it's feeling a lot more like a celebration, but obviously a little bit of a somber reflection there as well. And even more so as we read the next few verses, take care of them until the 14th day of the month. And when the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses that they eat the lamb. On that same night, they had to eat the meat roasted over a fire. It's a spit roast. A spit roast for everyone in the household. It's a sense of celebration there. But talk about an emotionally challenging evening. You're sitting down to this magnificent meal, which you probably rarely had. And then you're enjoying all that it is. And the blood's gone over the door. So as you sit there eating, you also know that out there in this community, even though they may not necessarily be your most favourite people, there is going to be death, there's going to be loss, there's going to be heartache. It has to have been a sombre moment. And I was thinking very much like, you remember the Lismore floods? You imagine what it must have been like for some of the people who were living in their homes on the higher parts of Lismore, and they're sitting in the comfort of their home, hearing the rain on the roof, knowing that all their goods are safe, that their family is safe and secure. But then the thought comes to them that out there, many of their neighbours, many of the people that they go to church with or sporting events with, are in the midst of losing their homes and their resources and all that they have. It kind of does two things to you. And I imagine that was what it was like for the Israelites. They were to eat the meat with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. You are to eat the brains, the kidneys, the livers, the tongue. Well, actually, it doesn't quite say it like that, but that's what you've got to eat. The heads, the legs, the internal organs. I don't know, some people are probably squirming right now and going, yeah, I don't think so. And I'm looking at that list and saying, bring it on. I don't know about you. I love brains. Their brains are. And liver, nothing like a good liver, in fact. Used to go home to my mum's place and she would cook up liver because she knew that none of our spouses were going to make it for us. So I didn't think that was too bad. Then anything left till the morning. If some was left, then it needed to be burned. I guess we can probably work out what was left. But why follow these instructions? Why follow the specifics of these instructions? The blood's over the door. They're guarded and protected. So why go to this finer detail of all these instructions that are given? Is it because there's symbolism in it all? Is it because it's for practical reasons? I don't know. Some of them probably are symbolism. Some of them probably are practical. But as we look at this passage, I think there's something far more significant than us being clever enough to work out what it all means. The thing that is more important than us being thinking, oh, we've found the reason for it, is to simply say, God said. And if God said, then I don't have to know the reason. I don't need to know why I should take the steps that I take, but if God said, then that's good enough for me. And so I think there was very much a sense on that night, not understanding why, but just if God is about to deliver us, then we will take the steps that he leads us to, because God said so. Very often the decisions we make need to be based on the same thing, laying logic down and simply saying, I do so because God said. In saying that, we also see how they're to eat the meal or how they are to present themselves to eat the meal. And obviously there's more than symbolism in this. There is a need for the Israelite families to be prepared to leave. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, with your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I just want to really highlight those last five words, because I think they are incredibly significant in all of this. It is the Lord's Passover. We often see that what's taking place is for the Israelite people, and it is. But this is the Lord's moment. This is the Lord's moment of showing that he is God and showing that he is in control. God's moment of bringing deliverance for his people. And his people simply need to be ready. They need to be ready. They need to be dressed and ready to go, because they will believe and need to believe that God is going to deliver them now, right now. On that night, I will pass through Egypt, and I'll strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Who here in this room is a firstborn? Put your hand up if you're a firstborn. I hope you understand that's kind of what's happening. Now, I'd want you to just spend a few moments thinking about your children, your firstborn. To lose your firstborn. And then what about your grandkids? The firstborn of each of their families, just on this one night, to lose them all. I don't think we can even come close to imagining that grief, can we? It was a struggle, it was a tough moment. The pain would be unfathomable. This morning, we're not going to actually get into verses 14 to 20. And what it actually highlights is how they're to commemorate this event in the future. Then in verses 21 to 30 is actually the event unfolding as the Lord had foretold. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up through the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. It's a moment that didn't need to happen. Let's get back to that reality. It's a moment that didn't need to happen. An opportunity was presented over and over again by God to Pharaoh, that there was an opportunity for him to be obedient to God's plan. None of this had to happen. Didn't have to have the heartache and loss. But because of the rejection of God's request on them, the pain was there. And for us, and indeed the world, a similar day is on our horizon. A similar day is on our horizon. The day when the Lord calls stumps on this world. And a day is coming when Jesus will return. And on that day, we know those who have recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God, who died in their place and allowed him to be Lord of their life, they will be saved. It's guaranteed. Yet those who have rejected Jesus, those who have ignored him, those who have laughed at him, those who have thought they know better than him, will be like Egypt. There is a reality here that can't be denied. For those who reject, ignore, turn their backs on Jesus and his salvation, then the words are going to be spoken, "Depart from me, you who are accursed in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." But for those who believe, there will be eternal life. There's often this thought that God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. Our God is a loving God. And yes, he is. But I want you to hear some words today very clearly. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world so much that he was willing to give his Son. It's not God who brings about the destruction. It's us, it's humanity. God can't have done any more, and all we need to do is receive the free gift that is salvation through Jesus, the Lamb of God. That's God's hope. But just like for Pharaoh, the outcome rests in the decisions that we have made. And I don't know what decisions have been made by anyone in this room. I know the decision I've made. I can probably guess the decisions that many others have made. But the decision rests with you. As to the decision you take, God has provided a way. Unquestionable, he has provided a way, but we need to accept it. The night of the Passover was one of death and grief, but it was also a night of celebration. And the day for and today is very similar. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour, then I trust that today will be a moment of sober reflection for you. And I trust that it's a moment where you don't go, you know what, I'll leave it till tomorrow to think about it. But it'll be a moment where you say, now today needs to be the day of salvation. And I would encourage you to talk to me or others here today. Yes, I know there's a members meeting afterwards. But let me just say, a conversation with you about where you stand with the Lord is far more important than any members meeting that we're ever going to have. So take the time to talk to someone, to share where you're at, and to know that God loves you so much that he was willing to send his son in your place. This moment matters too much. But for us who receive the free gift of salvation, we get to remember and we get to celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus, who was the Lamb of God.
May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the right knowledge of our Jesus, our Lord. Continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. May he receive all glory both now and until the day eternity begins. Amen.